Welcome to All Analytics Radio. This is Jim Connolly. I'm editor of allanalytics.com. I want you to flash back to elementary school, the start of the school year, which is happening across the U.S. as we speak. In those days, we quickly fell in love or quivered in fear on meeting our new teachers. We easily fit into those tiny desks that our parents hated when they had to sit in them on conference night. We learned multiplication and cursive. From then on, cursive or handwriting was second nature. It was at the heart of our homework, note-taking, later signing checks, and personalizing greeting cards. We've moved on to computers, but pen and paper are never too far away. And handwriting moved to the new world of technology with us, from the earliest PDAs to today's tablets. Some form of pen input has been available to us for our chickens to turn our chicken scratch into digital content. Handwriting is on the agenda today, and as we look at it from a technology standpoint, the evolution of handwriting recognition, driven in part by machine learning. Our guest is Gary Baum, Vice President of Marketing for MyScript, which develops handwriting recognition software. Gary has been around the recognition field for a while, and he joins us to discuss the overall state of handwriting recognition and the machine learning technologies that make it possible. Welcome to A2 Radio, Gary. How are you today?
Jim, thank you for having me. I'm doing great today. It's a beautiful, sunny, wonderful day.
Yeah, summer's almost over, though. Hey, before we get into the discussion, let me add a note for the listeners. You can post questions for Gary and comments for your peers on the live chat box on the All Analytics Streaming audio page. I'll share as many questions as I can with Gary during the live audio session, and then we'll address more during the chat session at the bottom of the hour. So, Gary, for starters, what are some of the applications for handwriting recognition that are in use today, whether they're based on your technology or that of other providers?
You know, that it varies. It's a wide range of different applications, ranging from very specific vertical market applications, such as filling in forms, filling in menu orders, more than just checking boxes, but actually writing and getting the order complete, all the way through to note-taking, to entering drawings for CAD-CAM, to entering diagrams, mind maps, org charts for thinking and just processing of information. And some of the more common ones are probably just recognizing math equations, something that's very difficult to do without a pen. Keyboards are not well suited to entering math equations. So there's calculators, there's websites that specialize in training and teaching that use that technology. So it varies. We don't recognize solely characters. We recognize handwriting. So it's more than just what you write in the sense of letters. But we do cursive, we do characters, diagrams, math equations, even music. And it just so happens today, Prosonus, a leader in music, has announced a new application where you can handwrite notes and have it filled in.
So essentially what we're doing is we're adding context to the letters, it sounds like.
Well, you know, the entire process of handwriting recognition is really inspired by biology. It's trying to mimic exactly how the mind works on a reading task. So we're solving not a simple task, but a very, very complex task that you can decompose into a whole variety of subtasks. So, for example, you have to break a word into its constituent characters. Then you have to recognize those characters. But, of course, then you will have ambiguities, so you have to resolve those. And you tend to rely upon contextual information, linguistic information. And as a result, you need multiple types of knowledge bases and neural network machines to help support that. So you need to recognize alphabetic, phonetic, lexical, grammar, semantic knowledge, and all this has to be put together, and then you can have a good user experience that what you write is actually read by the machine.
Well, what are some of the ways that the technology has been advanced in the past few years?
Probably the most significant has been moving forward to recognizing not just characters, but recognizing shapes. That is one thing. Math equations is another area of perfection that has been more commonly addressed in the industry. The most recent, however, is the realization that for a really good user experience, for example, when taking notes or trying to take information and enter it into your daily workflow, your digital documents, that handwriting recognition alone is not enough. You actually need a way to create the documents, and you need a way to format those documents. You need a way to understand paragraphs and characters, and the ink itself has to be interpreted in a similar way to the way characters are interpreted or used in a word processor in the digital world. So it isn't just a group of strokes, ink strokes, that have to be managed, but rather it's an object made of a partial or multiple ink strokes. And once you do that, then you can delete or add or change paragraphs, do carriage returns, all these types of functions that are the normal productivity functions for documents. And you can do that all with a pen. That type of interactivity is the latest frontier. And once you have that, you can create rather amazing applications.
Now, it's funny you mentioned word processors, because those of us who remember when the PC first came out, those first few word processors really were just, you know, strings of characters that had no meaning, at least not as far as the system was concerned. So what we're doing here, it sounds like, is, you know, we're adding some meaning.
Yeah, we're adding the meaning to the characters, to the diagrams. For example, on a diagram, if you write an org chart, you know, simple org chart, you know, many people do that, particularly in the sales environment. You have a box, you have a name in the box, you have a connector and a line, and other people report on into that. Well, wouldn't it be nice to have all those boxes and names and everything digitized and made crisp, clear, clean, and be able to edit the size of the boxes, move them in or out, up or down, and then with a pen, even though it's in digital form, be able to take the pen and add and modify and change, and with a simple tap of the finger, convert that new information into the same diagram, and then export it wherever you wish to export it. You could export it to common Office applications, or to web browsers, or to other types of output, a PDF file, for example. And I think that's the new frontier. Once we get there, there's no longer this big gap or this big barrier between little islands of ink, which is simply ink strokes, and then you apply handwriting recognition. Now you just have little islands of characters, but rather with the interactive function, we call that interactive ink, with that interactive function, you can now actually operate upon ink input in the same manner as a word processor would operate upon keyboard input, and you can mix and match it. You can edit the digitized or edit the ink version. Cross out a character, it disappears as a character, not just deleting an ink stroke. So that is remarkable, and people who have seen that type of technology being utilized are really excited, because it provides so much value and productivity.
Now, as I understand it, that intelligence also allows you to search and share much more easily.
Oh yes. Once you have the really interpreted meaning behind what is written, then the traditional digital processing power of computers to do searching over a document, multiple documents, large groups of documents, becomes rather easy. But it really becomes powerful when you can store these notes or these documents as notes or documents, either one, but store them in such a manner that they could be sent from one person to another person. Additions can be made and sent back, and have that done seamlessly, have that sharing done through the cloud, have that sharing done uh, in a interactive manner, and have it be cross-platform. There should be no reason that this handwriting technology is locked into a particular operating system or a particular operating environment. It needs to be free to consume the ink that gets input. As long as you have a really good digital pen, the ink should be totally capable of going from handwriting recognition through interactive ink all the way to a digital document. And that's the real value, being able to go to a meeting, take notes, and at the end of the notes, go tap, tap on your device, and you get an email with all the notes, action items, and the summary of the meeting before you even walk out of the meeting. Today, what most people do is they either write on paper or they write on a digital device, and then they prop one or the other up in front of their computer, and they retype their notes. What a productivity loss. By being able to save all that time and just formulate your notes while you're in the meeting, while you're taking the notes, while you're taking the actions, and being able to, with a simple cross-out, change things or add paragraphs or add diagrams or take pictures, now you have a value that truly bridges the gap from handwriting input to the digital world. That's where the industry will be going.
How do you measure accuracy? Most of us at least have used the voice recognition technologies that claimed to be 98% right. Well, that means that two words out of every 100 were grossly wrong. What level is the technology at now, and how do you measure it?
That debate has been running on in the educational circles and the research circles for decades. And depending upon what you want to measure, who you talk to as far as how you measure, you can come up with different metrics or different measurements. The real answer, I think, is much like a keyboard. How do you measure the accuracy of a keyboard? Certainly the person sometimes has a few characters that get out of order. Like I'm sure that you've typed "and" at some time and it came out NAD versus AND, or "the" had the H and the T transversed. So there's always errors, either human errors, typing errors, or actual keyboard errors. But you can correct them, and of course you could apply intelligence to those. Word processors nowadays do spell checking and do a lot of those corrections. But the same types of techniques can apply to handwriting as well. So at the end of the day, it really comes down to user satisfaction. If you don't have any interactive ink capability in terms of modifying, editing, now any recognition error or any writing error, or if your scribble is so bad even you can't read it, then at that point, it's very, very difficult to make corrections, and those errors become extremely annoying. If you write something wrong as you're forming your thought and you want to change your sentence, you just cross it out and write something else, that's actually a positive. So it comes down to the user experience. How good is the accuracy? So some measures, for example, one measure is there was an academic study recently done in China, and the recognition technology by the machine was actually better than the recognition technology by the human itself for a large group of Asian characters. So we're to the point where we're as good as a human, at least in some specific applications. And to be able to do that broadly across cursive characters, Asian characters, right now 90% of the world's population can write on a digital device and have it digitized. That is huge. Almost 100 languages.
Now, if you had a wish list, what would you like to see happen with the technology over the next, say, 4 or 5 years?
Well, I think we're already seeing some of those trends. Most recent Windows 10 update has spent quite a bit of time talking about something called Windows Ink, where the pen becomes front and foremost, I think was the words used, and ink input is important. Yeah, as we see the mobile workforce grow dramatically, and the devices that we carry go from desktop tethered to laptops to tablets to these two-in-one devices, which are the only computing category that is actually growing in volume and in the segment. Everything else is contracting. Those devices really need more than just a virtual keyboard, which takes up most of the screen, or a tethered keyboard that kind of is awkward. Why not use voice? I mean, we're seeing voice being integrated into the mainstream. Why not use handwriting? We see handwriting now being integrated into the mainstream. So the vision I would have is, probably 5 years from now, 7 years from now, perhaps even sooner. I think we're going to see it sooner, is I don't want to be constrained by an input method. I don't want to be constrained by a keyboard, by handwriting, by voice, by gestures. I want to be able to use all of them whenever I want to for a particular venue and a particular task at hand. So ideally, I'd like to start a sentence, start writing it, talk it, type it, and complete, and have it just naturally flow from one consistent neural network technology or artificial intelligence technology that knows how to recognize all those different factors and input them all into the machine accurately. Is that clear or not?
Yeah, and actually, a point about input is interesting, because there have been a lot of conclusions drawn about the millennial generation, you know, the so-called digital natives, some of which I absolutely am convinced are simply myths. Is that generation abandoning handwriting?
I think there has been a trend in the educational world to abandon handwriting in favor of the keyboard. And there's so many studies now that say that was a huge error. There's a lot of studies published in Psychology Today, University of Pennsylvania. There's research going on in the Northwest and several different research facilities that speak to the cognitive benefits of writing versus typing. And probably the most fundamental of those is that when you type, you tend to actually transcribe. You'll hear something and you just transcribe it. When you write, you tend to not be able to bring those notes to the device as quickly as if you were typing. Some people are actually faster in writing, but the general trend is to actually think and absorb the information and then write a summary of what you've heard. That process cognitively is vastly superior and enforces long-term memory, and it enforces creativity. And the motions of manipulating a pen, whether it's on a device or on paper, that motion itself develops fine motor skills in a different part of the brain than if you're using keyboard. And so there's a couple studies out that if you're typing your notes with a keyboard, you will actually miss things, because while you're typing, your brain will kind of zone out. And if you're aware of this, you can go into meetings and start typing, and you'll catch yourself saying, wait a minute, what'd you just say? And that's more prevalent with a keyboard note-taking method than with a writing method. So we're starting to see cursive and certainly printed characters, but cursive come back into the educational system. There's a resurgence of that. For creative people, there's a resurgence. And, of course, for students where you're drawing graphs, you're creating charts, you're writing math equations, that's most natural with a device on paper or on the device itself. So the fact that we can now write it on a device, have it captured, converted to a digital format, made beautiful, format it, and take it to a document, that is the next step.
Great. Hey, let's look at the technology behind all this. How do you go about, you know, you mentioned the fact that there are neural networks in the background. How do you go about, you know, training these systems and, you know, implementing machine learning?
Oh, gosh, that is a favorite topic of one of the groups that that we work with at our company. There's a large number of people focused on just that. So what we do is once we have the engines pretty much put in place, say I want to learn something new, a new language or something different. Let's pick a language. The first thing to do is get some input for it. And literally, we have millions of samples that come in. And we have to be sensitive to the geographical and the differences in just the way people write within the same geography and get the right meaning, interpret what is written correctly. So we have some standard text, some standard things that we would do, and we'll ask people, okay, go write these. And we'll take literally hundreds and thousands of samples in various forms over the years and have that done, and then have that information that gets captured digitally, and then we can input that into the machines where the machine knows what was written. We have humans make sure that what was written was actually what was requested to be written. It's amazing how many times that doesn't happen. But if you write what was requested to be written, then you can feed that information into the machines, and it literally churns on it for days, and it teaches itself how to recognize what was done. And we use all those engines. So all those engines get a different portion of that learning or a different portion of that information, character recognition, how to break the ink into the appropriate characters, whether cursive or characters or diagrams, for example. They come with connectors and boxes and circles. And so it all has to be categorized, interpreted. We use the language models to understand grammar. You can scribble something that can be read, and if the grammar dictates it, it will know that that might be a the or an and type word, and it will correctly put that in. It also understands things. For example, if you're talking about a horse race and the horse ran very fast and then I put the horse in the barn, if you wrote a horse in the barn but it looked like house, it knows from the context, well, now that doesn't make sense. He's talking about a horse. So the last three things he wrote was a horse. Must be a horse, not a house. And so those engines all run in real time. And we can provide those results in real time such that you can interact with those results in either digital form or ink form and move them forward into your daily workflow. Share them, store them.
Now, once you've fed all this information in, and we see the same thing happening with language translation, voice, facial recognition, for instance, you know, just chunking buckets and buckets of examples at the system.
Yes.
If I now have, you know, some type of recognition software on my PC, does the process go out to the cloud and on out to the neural network, or is it ported to my local machine in some way?
Well, it depends on the application and what's intended. So in some cases, you want to go out to a cloud. For example, Khan Academy recognizes math equations, and the solution is actually provided in the cloud because the device upon which it's based can only be assumed to have a low performance, limited memory, and host a browser. On other machines, other tablets, it can be performed locally. A lot of the technology that is under some of the popular note-taking applications that you can download off the Apple or Windows or Android stores, that is all based on local processing, real-time processing. And then you have the more extreme cases that are, I'll call them an embedded type design. And by embedded, I mean that the user doesn't really interact with it in a note-taking fashion or an interactive fashion as much as an input device mechanism. So if I have a digital watch that I wish to write upon to get input into it, there's not enough screen size to write a character to form a word. I have to write character on top of character on top of character. And you have to be able to recognize that and put that into words and sentences. And it's so convenient. For example, the Audi or the Mercedes vehicles that have handwriting recognition in those vehicles, you can write a word partially in a few cursive characters, some of them in discrete characters. And in some cases, in particularly in the Asian markets, you do transliteration, which is the notion of writing in one form and having it displayed in a different form, doing the translation you spoke of just earlier. So that's all done on a tiny little microcontroller embedded in the vehicle. There is no cloud in general accessible to these vehicles that you can count on for that type of function. And I think the next step is, as I mentioned earlier, will be this notion of multimodal input, where voice and handwriting and you mentioned gestures and all these different techniques will all be run by a consistent set of neural networks into one engine, one AI engine. And whatever the user prefers to do at that point in time will be what is done. And, you know, in the case of an automobile, the key goal is accuracy and low distraction for the driver. So sometimes if the environment is noisy, voice doesn't work particularly well. Handwriting is vastly superior. Other times you might be parked in a quiet area and you just want to dictate a text message and you might prefer voice. So it's really up to the user, and I think multimodal will prevail in the long term.
Gary, there's interesting questions from the audience, and that has to do with open source. You know, this reader mentioned that apparently your company has a lot of activity on GitHub. What role does open source play in the combination of machine learning and handwriting recognition?
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of research in the industry, some of which is open source, some of which is just published papers. In our specific case, we provide a development portal, and anybody can download any of the kits that we have, the application toolkits. One for diagram, one for text, one for geometry, one for music, and so on and so forth, and build whatever application they wish. Once that is built, the underlying, that's all source code in those kits, but they rely upon the handwriting recognition engines that are primarily binary, and then those are linked in, and of course the only way to monetize this for a company is to have royalties and license those.
Gary, are you there?
User base. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Folks, I believe that we may have lost our speaker here. Anyway, if we aren't able to get Gary back, just want to thank him for the nice presentation. I'm sorry we just lost him. It looks like his phone may have gone out. We were at pretty much a wrap up point here. Gary should be joining us in the text chat in a few minutes.
I am back, if and you can hear me, Jim.
You're back. Yeah, we have Gary. I was just explaining to the audience we're reaching the bottom of the hour anyway.
Okay.
Any closing thoughts on what the average computer or tablet user may be doing with handwriting recognition that they aren't even aware of?
That they're not even aware of. Well, most people that are tablet users or smartphone users, when they pick up the pen or the stylus or the pencil, you know, whatever name is given to the device, they're quite aware that they have it. Now, the real question is, what kind of value can they get out of it? And the most obvious, of course, is note-taking. Now, for vertical markets, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of specific things that can be done for insurance salesmen or insurance adjusters, a variety of applications. But fundamental note-taking is just common. Mind maps, creative thinking, and those types of things certainly can be done in ink, but they're far more valuable when you can transfer them to a digital form and continue to work with them and share them in digital form. Few people want to share their handwritten ink, but everybody's happy to share their digital form. So I think the key value that we're seeing is the uptake, that type of technologies, because the mobile market is growing so much. In the past, tablets were used primarily for content consumption, surfing the web, maybe typing a few emails, but primarily input, watching pictures, watching movies, listening to music. But now we're seeing exactly the opposite. We're seeing pro-type devices being formed by Apple, Microsoft, and all the popular OEMs directed at the enterprise market, the content creation market, the student market. All of those require an input, and a very good input, and one that works as well as pen on paper. And that's the goal. And we're very, very close. The hardware finally is at the point where the feel and the performance of these devices on a tablet mimic very close to the feel of a pen on paper. Handwriting recognition certainly is there, but being able to interact with that ink, that is the new frontier. That is the new aha that makes all of this worthwhile and very valuable. And so with that thought, go check out Interactive Ink. We have a little showcase application for note-taking called Nebo, N-E-B-O. And it's available on the Apple Store and the Windows Store, and Android people will see it coming soon.
Great. Gary, thanks. This has been an very informative discussion on really an amazing technology area.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank Gary Baum from MyScript for being with us today. I want to thank those of you who are listening for joining us, and thanks to SAS for sponsoring this event. This has been Jim Connolly for All Analytics Radio and UBM Tech. Thanks for tuning in. Gary, thanks for sharing your experience, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you.
Great. Take care.